The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us as SB Nation Radio. Tony D and Ron Culver taking you through on a Wednesday morning. Glad you can be with us. You can hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. Ron is spelled with two N's. Don't mistake that. Have you found out, Ron, who the Ron Culver is with the one N? Because that just seems like a discount.
No, I should. Yeah. I should follow him on Twitter.
You should follow him and say, "What are you doing with one N when you can have double N's and have double the fun?"
You exactly. Know, be a little more symmetrical in your life.
Exactly. The SEC has a saying, it just means more, which I think is really arrogant. I don't really like it.
It's the saying I took with my name.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I think it's an arrogant statement. I don't think it means more. I think if you go to, you can go to every part of the country. College football in college basketball is very local. I don't think they're less enthusiastic about Ohio State or Penn State or other places around the country. It doesn't mean more in the SEC. That's just the way of them. They market themselves. But that's one of the things the conference has done very, very well, is it markets itself well. But there's something to back it up. The combine this week, the SEC, 90 invitees to attend the combine, 90 from one conference. Over 50 more than the last, than the team. I'm sorry, close to, 47, I think, is the official number. Than the next conference. In that respect, the bragging rights do belong to the Southeastern Conference, from national championships with Alabama, you know, and the, you know, with Clemson jumping in there every now and then. But the reality is that the SEC is where, if you are serious about making it to the NFL, you're going to get a better look in the Southeastern Conference. I don't know why. I mean, I think the competition is great, but I think if you're talented and you've got a great, potentially great athletic ability, you'll go to the NFL anywhere. You'll go in any place. But for whatever reason, the SEC wanted to tout this number, and it's, while it doesn't mean more, it is significant. That's a lot of invitees to the combine. And it's not like the next conference has 85. I think the next conference has 53. So it may not mean more, but the SEC is getting it done and turning out least interested NFL prospects for the association, for the league. SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Can you tell me what bumper music this is?
Come on, please. You don't know the P-Funk?
No, I don't.
George Clinton, Parliament Funkadelic.
Oh, okay, yeah, all right.
Atomic Dog.
I just feel like moving in my chair. Okay. That's right. I got you.
Just, I need, you know, just trying to wake people up right now.
Exactly.
To get you grooving.
Michael on Twitter, we were talking about baseball cards last hour, collectibles that we thought were going to be really valuable. Michael on Twitter, I found two 1980 Georgia Bulldog National Championship Coca-Cola bottles unopened at a garage sale for a dollar. My eyes jumped out of my head thinking this is a real value. I looked online. They're only $5. Oh, boy. That's
hey, true. At least he made some money.
I think I've said this. I think I told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because I thought it was really cool. When I was a young lad, my father bought one of those laser disc machines. This was before VCRs. And this is how you did movies at home, youngsters. This was you would get these big discs, laser discs, and the
huge
movie was on both sides of the disc. So you would watch half the movie, and then the screen would go blank, and then you would get up and you would take it out. You'd put the case in, take out the disc, flip it, put the case in, and then hit play again. And this was awesome because you could have movies out of your house. I mean, back when I was a kid, you just didn't get movies out of your house. And so my father bought a few that we had permanently, some cartoons and whatnot, but he had Star Wars. And he had so this was the original 1977 Star Wars, right? The way George Lucas put it in theaters back in 1977. So if you remember, 20-something years later, he redigitalized the whole movie. Remember that?
And then added some scenes,
made it sharper, you know, made the explosions a little bit more graphic. He basically redid the movie for the technology at the time.
Showing that Han did shoot first, because, you know, before that it was kind
right,
of a question.
I know, kind of a question is exactly right. So you could get the newer versions of that movie, et cetera, et cetera. So years go by, and I'm at my father's house for Christmas, and I ask him if he still has those laser discs. And he goes, yeah, they're downstairs in the basement somewhere, where pretty much, you know, retired people put stuff. And I go down there, and it's like, seriously, my parents' basement was like a museum to my child. They kept everything. Like, everything was down in this basement. Like, you just walk through and go, oh, there's a board game from 1982. And so sure enough, somewhere down in the basement were the laser discs. And we had like the Hobbit cartoon and like some Disney stuff when we were kids.
God, that Hobbit cartoon was freaky.
Really freaky.
That's all I remember.
Really, really freaky. I got that on DVD. Ooh. I had to buy that on DVD because I was like, I remember that. So I found the Star Wars thing. And I told my father this. It was going to be valuable because I said, Star Wars people are nuts. They're nuts. And they want anything that associates to the original movie, like anything that associates to the original 1977 look. And I said, you've got a laser disc that still works, that's still got this movie on it in pristine shape. I think this is going to be valuable. So I went on eBay, $13.
There you go.
$13 was the most I found for it.
Yeah,
I told him he could get a grand for it. I said, I think you could get $1,000 for this.
Along those same lines, my mom kept a gigantic box, a huge box of my Star Wars toys. You know, like the one
Now
Kenner,
those are valuable, really?
The one Kenner used to make, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They are valuable. And here's my question to people out there. When you had no idea that they were going to be valuable back like in the early 80s.
Right.
Why did you keep them in your packaging?
Exactly.
Because those are the ones that are valuable. My little stormtrooper that's like missing a hand, not worth anything.
Exactly. No, if you played with these toys like you were supposed to, they're worth nothing. But if you were somehow an 8-year-old that was like, you know what would be better if I didn't open this and put it in the closet for next 35 years?
Did we know to collect things back then?
No, I'm just curious.
I'm not a kid. I'm saying like adults too. Did they go like, oh, you know what? I'm going to buy this Luke Skywalker, but I'm going to buy another one just to keep it in the packaging because one day it might be worth something.
I think I broke Star Wars toys on Christmas morning when I opened them up in the box and I immediately played with them.
Of course, yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? Of course we took them out of the box and threw them together and then slammed them against the walls and stuff like that. Of course we did.
She still kept, and I'm glad that she did because it's nostalgic. I mean, they're not worth anything. It literally is a box of plastic junk. But I do have the AT-AT Walker.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, and what I remember most about that one, though, were all the commercials because it would always show the commercials going, like the AT-AT Walker walking around.
crushing Dixie cups.
Right. Yeah,
and I always
exactly.
thought, I was like, Mom, I need to get Dixie cups. I need to crush a Dixie cup with this at Walker.
Those stupid Star Wars commercials when I was a kid, they always made it look more cool than I actually had in real life. Remember, there was always the guy with the deep voice who'd be like, it's the Star Wars Dagobah action set. And these two kids would be playing and he'd be like, Yoda, lift up the X-Wing fighter from the swamp. And they had like a little swamp and the X-Wing fighter would come out of it. And he'd be, look, Luke, it's Darth Vader. And he would jump over. And then I get the set. And there's nothing like that whatsoever.
But not only that, but it always looked like it's like, man, they're in like the coolest park ever.
Ever.
Out in the field because
right.
where they're playing, it looks like the real thing. And
just, yeah.
And it's like me, you know, like I'm sitting on my living room floor going, well, this doesn't feel like the same.
This doesn't feel like the commercial. Like they had like a little swamp and they had like a little, you know, grass and all that stuff playing outdoors with little hills. I'm playing on my mother's shag green carpet going, this is not the same thing. What are we talking about here?
Like whenever they show G.I. Joe toys, because I was a big G.I. Joe toy collector, toy fan. I was like, oh, I gotta have them all because the knees bent and the elbows bent. That what made it seem more real than the Star Wars guys who just, you know, straight arm, straight leg.
Exactly.
But, they would have like, you know, like one like a tank going over water, a little creek. And I'm like, I wish I had a little creek in my backyard to play with.
No, we didn't get any of that fun. We didn't get any of that stuff. It's sold us advertising. Way to go, Madison Avenue. Nice job.
Yeah, they did it.
Oh, my gosh. All right, coming up next, I want to get to this Nolan Arenado story for the Rockies. I think there's a bigger picture here that's being overlooked. The Rockies signed their superstar to an 8-year deal worth $260 million, but this leaves you a lot of questions about Major League Baseball and where it's going. You don't have to look very far to find one of the problems that's going on with baseball and its economics and what went down in Colorado and what could come down. I'll tell you about that coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
This is Mike Hersey from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. I get emails every week from listeners asking about going to a quick lube. I say it's great, but you have to ask some questions first. Ask what brand of oil and filter they use. It's hard to make money on just oil changes, so it really won't be a top brand. And money is why they may try to sell you a cabin filter or air filter or maybe a full synthetic oil that you may not need. These guys are just trying to stay in business. But there is one place that will use the right oil and filter, and that's your local dealers. Dealers have added their own quick lube centers. They're priced the same as the other guys, and they get you in and out in a flash. Besides the oil change, they will check your brakes and rotate your tires as part of the service. They'll even throw in a free car wash. You see, the dealer wants you to think of them when it's time for another car. So, don't forget your local dealer. This is Mike Hurst from Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com or find us on Facebook as Let's Talk Wheels.
To celebrate the Jeep President's Day event, we're creating our own motorcade of the most awarded, best-selling SUV brand ever to hit the road and explore what lies beyond it. Leading the procession is Jeep Wrangler, American legend, and the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Following close is Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever, and versatile Jeep Compass with its class-leading technology and connectivity. And rounding it all out is Jeep Cherokee with its nimble 31 mpg highway. But great deals on this motorcade will be coming to an end soon. So hurry in today to the Jeep President's Day event. The Jeep brand and Jeep Grand Cherokee have received more awards over their lifetime than any other SUV or SUV brand. Based on compact SUV segmentation, OEM website, Auto Knowledge, EPA estimated 4-cylinder, 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, don't take a chance on being stranded. I can't think of anything scarier than being stranded when you're driving. That's awful. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts to get your battery tested. It's free of charge and one of the many services available. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You know what's scarier than being stranded with a bad battery? Is when you're in line to pick up your kid at school and you can't start your car because your dead battery. That's scarier. Because you got to wave everybody past you your kid's embarrassed. Got to take the walk of shame to your car.
I got maybe one better than that.
Okay.
Dead battery drive through.
Oh, that's the worst.
And one of those new ones where, you know, you can't go around. Like, you're literally stuck.
Yeah.
Because they have curbs put up and make it all, you know, planters, making it look pretty.
Right.
Like, you don't need to do that. I'm just ordering, you know, I'm just indulging myself with greasy food. Come on.
Over the summer, I went to go pick up my wife's car from New Jersey when we moved back to Nashville. And it was late. And I got off the plane and I got to the car and I took the car. I pulled into a drive-thru. I put it in park because it was late and it was taking a while for the food. Yeah. I put it in park. And then my wife's park, the shifter that we go shift, you know, you park to drive, was stuck. And I didn't know what to do. And I couldn't shift the car out of drive.
So it did happen to you.
Yeah, it did. And I got stuck and I was waving people. Like, it was late. Luckily it was late and it was only a few people that went through. Then I was waving people around. They had to come out of the restaurant to give the people their drive through food and take their money and go back.
And I'm stuck there. That's the last thing they want to do.
They
don't walk any further than they have to. They're just counting the hours at that point.
They were so nice, but I called the tow company because I was like, what am I going to do? And the guy comes over. I paid $125. For his tow guy to come. He goes to the car. He has a screwdriver. He pops a little thing and he goes, just take a thing, poke this, and it'll shift. I paid him $125 to show me that, which he could have done easily on the phone, but why do that when I'll pay you $125 to show up and show me?
Exactly.
But the cool thing about this, it was a McDonald's, and the cool thing about this restaurant, I ended up calling to talk to the manager because the people were so cool. I was waiting for the tow truck. And I was eating, one of the women came up to me and she said, hey, she goes, I'm going to get you some hot French fries. That's been in the bag way too long. And she got me hot French fries.
Nice.
And I said, that's great. And they were really, really great. So I gave them all compliments.
All right. So then now you know that. What's worse? You've been stuck at a drive-thru. Would it be worse to
waiting? Waiting to pick up my kid. He was in middle school at the time, and I was in a. I was driving. I'm not kidding. I was driving a jalopy. I drove a car that when I bought, I said I would. I told my wife, I said I'm going to run this car into the ground. And I remember everybody told me to get a new car. Even my parents came to visit. We're like, buy a new car. God, it was dented in the front. It had a wheel that didn't have a hubcap on it. I mean, my parents were my kids were embarrassed to be inside because the muffler made loud noises. I ran this thing into the dirt.
So just a complete eyesore is what
exactly.
You're describing.
And my son was always like, Dad, get a new car. It's like when you pick me up, it's like, ugh. And I go, yeah, I'm not buying a new car. I ever paid this thing off. And
Uncle Buck driving through the car.
So I was in line. It was in the pickup line, and it was, you know, I got there early, so I put it in. I turned off the engine, hung out in the car, was making a few phone calls. It was time to start up again. All right, people are moving now. Start the car. Couldn't start the car. Dead battery. I had to wave everybody behind me around the car with my hazards on. And basically, the hazards barely worked. But they walked around. And then my son had to walk down to the street with a school attendant.
Of course. Right? Can't go solo.
And my son looked at me like, God, this is the worst. I can't believe I'm part of this family. I can't believe that's my dad would not buy. He's literally like, I swear I'm adopted. This is just a neighbor picking me up. I'm just like, son, I'm sorry. I got a dead battery. You know, then the football coach had to give me a lift. Give me a jump. It was terrible. So basically, long story short, go to O'Reilly, get your battery checked out because you don't want to be the guy.
You don't want to be Tony.
You don't want to be Tony. All right, so the Rockies signed Nolan Arenado, their third baseman. 8 years, $260 million. Okay.
That $35 million a year, right?
This is a lot of money. This is a lot of money. All right, and everybody in Colorado is happy, and you should be. He's a superstar. He's the guy you want to center your team around. Here's the problem. Do the Rockies have any money to go build a team around them? They made the playoffs last year, but we're not talking short term. We're talking long term. Does this handicap them? Does this strap them?
I don't know. Baseball, I mean, we could say the same thing about the Padres.
Yes, yes. You know, but it doesn't seem like we're having that conversation about the Padres,
no,
right?
No, it doesn't. But we're not really having that conversation about anybody. There was somebody else who got signed the other day from a team, and I'll look it up. And I was surprised that they threw this kind of money at somebody because I didn't really even know the player.
It wasn't the Yankees and Aaron Hicks, was it? Because I went crazy on Aaron Hicks,
that one.
$10 million a year.
Yeah, there's that one, but no, it was somebody else. I'll find it. Go ahead.
Nevertheless, with this extension, and listen, I'm not downplaying the signing. And Arenado is a star. He is a four-time All-Star. He led the National League in home runs last year. You got to have a centerpiece on your team to build around. You got to have a face of the franchise. I don't care what market you're in, what size of the market you're in. You've got to have a face of the franchise, and he is the face of the franchise. I've gone down this road with this team, but it doesn't mean it doesn't happen with other places. You put a lot of money into one guy, and then you have to figure out your own economics about whether or not you can start affording other guys around them. And this is a concern. Look, Colorado's a pretty good baseball town. It's not a super baseball town. It's Broncos, Broncos, and Broncos. But if the Rockies play well, that stadium is nice in downtown Denver. They'll fill it up. They'll people who go, they'll buy tickets. That's not a quiet baseball city. If the Rockies are good, they'll go. The problem comes from when you can't sign your other free agents that make your current playoff team very valuable. And that's a problem. They've got a lot of players that are going to head into free agency that they need. They want Trevor Story, who's going to be a free agent in a couple of years. They want John Gray. They want Kyle Freeland. They want Chad Bettis. We're not talking tomorrow. We're talking down the road. We're talking 2020, 2021, so a couple of years down the road. But that day is coming sooner than you think. These kind of deals for a team like Colorado, and you could make the same argument about Manny Machado in San Diego. Does it handcuff you? It's one thing to say, hey, let's bring in a guy that will sell tickets, that will make bring us fireworks and explosiveness, and he's a guy people want to come and see. But in the end, people want championships. They want winners. And if you are handicapped because you can't go out and go sign these players because you're trapped in these contracts, I don't know how these teams can do this. They're almost, I hate to use this term because there is on both sides manipulate each other, right? Players manipulate their deals. Owners try to get the best value, et cetera, et cetera. But it's almost like the Rockies don't have a choice. They can't not sign Nolan Arenado to a long-term extension.
Yeah,
they have to answer this every day. Well, he's going to be a free agent soon. When are you going to lock him up? When are you going to lock him up? When are you going to lock him up? And then can the Rockies go to their fan base and go, never, because we don't do that kind of. No, they have to do this.
The way I look at it are, the team that you should all look at, everyone should look at, is the Angels. You have the best player in baseball on your team, but you're handicapped right now because you have a gigantic contract for Pujols. And I want to say they're still paying out Josh Harrison, who I don't even think is in the league anymore. Or Josh Hamilton.
Josh Hamilton, yeah.
You might be right
on that.
And that's for me, that's kind of like, okay, that's what we all need to look at, is that type of dynamic. But it just seems to me like baseball is just kind of getting into that funny money situation, like the NBA has been in. That player I was trying to think of, and I watched baseball and I didn't really know who this was. Miles Mikolas.
Oh, yeah. He's
pitcher for the Cardinals.
Pitchers for the Cardinals, right.
He had a really good year last year, made the All-Star team, I guess finished fifth in Cy Young. He just signed a four-year, $68 million deal. Doesn't that seem kind of high?
That is really high.
For a player that, I mean,
he was good last year. I think it was like 18-4 or something like that. But he had just come on. I mean, he's 30 years old, and I think he played in Japan for a number of years before he struck it with the Cardinals and had a really good season last year. But that's a lot.
I mean, $17 million a year when we're looking at, just by the same comparison, like Nolan Arenado is getting $35 million a year, and he's proven himself year after year after year. Or Manny Machado's proven himself a couple of years is making double that. But I don't know. I looked at that. I'm like, wow, that just seems high for someone that we just heard of.
But this is the thing with the Arenado deal, that if I'm a Rockies fan, and again, you can take this, you can take Arenado and the Rockies and replace it with any mid-market, small-market club that signs one of their big stars to a big deal that you wonder what the ramifications are financially down the road. So you can replace these, you can replace the name and the team with, you know, just about anybody in baseball. There's an opt-out clause after 3 years for the Rockies for this deal, for Arenado. They're going to go through this again. Very quickly. 3 years is not a long time. It's going to come up quick. And Arenado can opt out of this because the money may even be better. He'll be 30 years old at that point, and it could be better in 3 years for him if he continues at this pace.
I think that is actually the good deal, and I think we might see something similar with Bryce Harper.
Very much so, right.
You know, maybe it's not that 10-year deal he's looking for, but you know, maybe there's an opt-out. Because, what, he's 26. Maybe he can opt out after, like, year four or year five.
That's what I was saying yesterday. If you're the Dodgers, give Harper $40 million a year for 3 years, right? Yep. Just say, listen, we're going to give you a three-year deal. It's going to be $40 million. You're going to make $40 million a year. But we're only going to do this for 3 years. You'll be 29, close to 30. You'll hit the market again. Maybe we talk, maybe we won't. But if no one's giving you $40 million a year and now, take a gamble with us that you'll still be in the running for a great deal. You can take the long-term deal now, but if you believe in yourself 3 years from now, you'll be another hot free agent at 29. Take $40 million a year now. Dodgers should do that.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is the good. It is the bad. It is the dumb. All right, let's go with the good, Ron Culver, here on a Wednesday.
With the good. I'm a tad bit late with this one because I didn't watch the video until yesterday, and I was like, oh, I got to talk about this. We got to bring this up. I don't know if you caught it. Did you see what happened during the Clippers Mavericks game?
No, I did not.
I think it was Sunday. It would have been Sunday night, right? Today's Wednesday, right? What's today?
Yep. Today is Wednesday.
Okay. I'm already forgetting what the week is. I guess this would have happened Monday night. Doc Rivers stops the game with 9 seconds to play. Right? And
Nine seconds, yeah.
And the Clippers were easily beating the Mavs. But he stopped at 9 seconds, and here's the audio.
9 seconds left of the game, and play has stopped. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Doc is on the mic.
Giving it up for Dirk.
Wow.
I've never seen this before.
The greatest of all time, Dirk Nowitzki.
Wow.
Oh, that was cool.
I mean, he stopped the game with 9 seconds to go, called timeout, went over to the table, grabbed the microphone, and told the Clipper Nation to get on their feet and, you know, give a shout out to Dirk.
That's great. That is really great. I hope that happens everywhere Dirk goes.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw that. I mean, just totally random. I mean, there's really no history between the Mavericks and the Clippers, and you know, Dirk shutting down the Clippers back in the day. It's just an awesome gesture for one of the great players we've seen in our generation.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is really great. Doc Rivers. There's a lot of things I criticize Doc Rivers for, but that will not be one of them. That is a fantastic gesture.
Yeah, I mean, that's much better than what I guess, you know, giving him a surfboard.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm trying to think of LA. It's like, yeah, we'll give you some smog.
They give you some smog
in a Maverick jar.
Exactly. Yeah. Well done, Doc. That's really awesome. All right, let's get to the bad.
Now, this might be a personal nightmare. It would definitely be for me. I don't know about for you, but I don't know if you heard about the Amtrak train.
I did. The one in Oregon?
Yeah.
Yes.
An Amtrak train traveling from Seattle to L.A. That's a long train trip, but that would be a lot of fun to take, by the way. You know,
yeah, it would.
I would not do it in the wintertime, but if you don't know, you know, what's going on with the country, extreme weather has been happening all across the country. Oregon got blasted with snow, and I think they like up to like, you know, 10 feet of snow or something like that. It's just ridiculous. But a tree fell on the tracks, and the train that was heading there could not move. It was stuck. And the problem was that all the service roads leading to where this train is were covered with so much snow, nobody could get to it. So people literally were stuck in this train for nearly 50 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
And there was a dining car. They had enough food to get by, but, you know, then they started to get worried. But here's the thing, and the people that they were interviewing, because, you know, Amtrak is a commercial train. It's a means of transportation if you didn't want to fly. So there were a lot of families on this train, stuck in a train. Now imagine taking, you know, you have older kids, so they'd be more self-sufficient. But think back maybe like 5, 6, 8 years ago, being stuck on a train with little ones.
Oh, that would drive me bananas.
That has to be a personal nightmare, right?
Oh, my God. 50 hours?
50 hours. It's finally reached its – or it didn't reach its destination. It was able to make it back to someplace in Oregon where they were able to get off the train. And Amtrak is refunding them the money and you know, apologizing and probably offering them free vouchers for future train trips or whatnot.
And they're like, no, I'll fly.
I mean, you know what? It's not – I would take them up on it because, I mean, it just was a freak thing. A tree fell on the tracks. They couldn't.
Well, can I ask a question of being naive about train travel? How does the conductor, because stopping a train is a nightmare. How does a conductor know a tree fell on the tracks enough to stop it before it plows into said tree?
Well, I think that was part of the problem. I think it's slightly derailed, and that's why they couldn't just back it up.
Because I read somewhere that one of the nightmares that conductors have is when they have a suicide on the train tracks, and they can see the person is lying on the train track,
yeah,
wanting to kill themselves. They can't stop the train.
No.
And they can't stop the train. So they know when they see it, that's it.
Yep.
There's nothing I can do. I can't stop this. I can blow the horn, but I'm going to watch this go all the way to fruition because I can't stop the train. It's going to take a mile or two to for this train to come to a stop. So if you're a conductor of the train and a tree falls, and there's no radio to say, hey, mile marker 21, a tree fell, how does he know?
Yeah, I mean,
until he sees it and goes, oh,
exactly.
Guess we'll be plowing into that thing.
See, now I've been on a train. My wife and I used to take train trips a lot. From LA up to Santa Barbara, because where you get off in Santa Barbara, there's a bunch of hotels, and that's where, you know, the main, it was called State Street, and that's the street where all the shops are. So you would take a train ride up there because it was better than driving and you didn't have to pay for parking, and it was a lot of fun. But I remember a trip once coming back, and we hit a car. We were on the train that we were
seriously?
On the train that hit a car, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the lady was fine. She just, it was pretty much like the train tagged its bumper. But we sat on the train track, and like where our window seat was lined up perfectly where she was. And we literally sat in the middle of this intersection on the track. So the train was not allowed to move, I think it was like up, I want to say at least an hour.
That's crazy. Just 50 days, 50 hours though
50
on a
hours.
Train. In you know, Oregon, cold and it's snowy and you can't really go
outside.
You're stuck in a train, stale air. I'm sure the bathrooms weren't all that pleasant.
No, you just saw people, like, you know, just laying, you know, trying to sleep as much as possible. The one thing I God bless this mom. This one mom was almost brought to tears because she did not pack enough diapers for
being stuck
for 50 hours. But luckily she said she needed diapers, but she found a lady who had some spare pull-ups. And if you know kids, sometimes diapers don't really equate to pull-ups.
Yeah, close enough.
But, yeah, they were able to make do. But, yeah, oh, my God.
That was crazy.
Be a personal
nightmare. All right, what's the ugly?
No, the dumb.
Oh, the dumb. I'm going to make this mistake. Yeah. I got to write this down.
The dumb. And you know what? You're going to back me up on this. This is really dumb. The Knicks.
Yeah,
The Knicks.
They're ugly, yes.
No. The Knicks have won 3 out of their last 4 games.
I know. This is not how you tank.
They're being stupid, right?
Right?
This is a
stop winning games. This is pointless.
I mean,
stop.
I thought that's why you traded away Porzingis, and I thought that's why you pretty much got rid of everyone humanly possible and cleared cap space, so you knew that you already decided that this season was done, was over.
You got rid of a player nicknamed the Unicorn because of his uniqueness. You're tanking this season. It's okay. It's okay. You don't have to win. Look, when Spike Lee is mad that you're winning games, you're tanking.
You're doing it wrong.
You're right. Spike's the biggest Knicks fan on the planet, and if he's mad if you're winning games, stop winning games.
Yeah, just listen to him. I mean, he hated Green Book. He's not afraid to show his opinion. Listen to him.
Zion Williamson, when he's healthy, and God, boy, does Duke need him, because he's a beast. He's going to win you a bunch of games. He's going to be a superstar. You can't get him if you don't have the better odds.
Plus, when they get the number one draft pick, then that's what's going to make them enticing for, you know, two max players.
Well, that's true. And what the other thing is that I keep saying this, I always have to preface this, the NBA has changed the lottery rule, but I think it's still weighed a little bit more towards the team that loses the most games.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not like it used to be, but it's not like it was in the old days. In the old days, it didn't matter if you were one game out of the playoffs or 15 or 20 games out of the playoffs. You had the same chance of your envelope being picked. They did away with that, but I think they've adjusted it. It still was weighed a little bit towards the team with the worst record in the NBA.
Yes.
But not as heavily as it used to be.
And you know, I mean, that coveted spot is going to be the number one overall because you know what that prize is going to be.
That's right.
I don't even know who would go number two or three at this point.
I don't either.
But I do know who's going to go number one. So, yeah, the dumb of the day has to be the Knicks. They just keep finding ways to win.
Keep finding ways to win. Yeah. Duke lost last night, by the way, to Virginia Tech. Now, they did beat Syracuse, lost to North Carolina. So they lost two or three without Zion. They'll get Zion back and be fine. But right now, everyone's like, ooh, what if he doesn't come back? Yikes. He better come back. What if he doesn't? We don't know. What if he doesn't? What if he says, I'm healthy and I just quit college basketball? Goodbye.
Oh, did you hear Charles Barkley's comments on that? From last week?
Remind me what they were, because I don't remember him seeing.
Pretty much saying, like, you know, we play basketball. That's what
we do.
Yeah,
we're basketball players. Yeah, that's right.
You don't sit and rest for the rest of the year.
I agree with him. I've said this before. Listen, if you're Zion, you only have one chance to win a college basketball national championship, and it is a cool thing to do, and participate in the tournament, which is a cool thing to do. Do it. Don't listen to these people that are scaring you that you're going to get hurt and damage yourself for life. Play basketball and have fun.
Here's my question to you. Maybe we need to dive into this a little bit more, but do we make certain exceptions? Say, you know, like we want Zion to play and get after that national championship, but I don't think we really cared too much when Leonard Fournette or Christian McCaffrey sat and opted out of a bowl game.
Yeah, true.
But it wasn't for a national championship.
Okay, if Duke was playing in the NIT, then I would tell him to get the hell out of there. Like, or let's say Duke was banned from the NCAA tournament for whatever reason, from past sin, okay, but he still wanted to play for Mike Krzyzewski, then I would tell him to get out of there. With the bowl games, it was different because the bowl games they were playing in games that didn't matter for the national title. Players don't go opt out of the playoff or the championship. But here's a chance to go. I think the NCAA tournament is one of the coolest things in sports.
Right.
And I think if you're a participant in that, And you can, especially if your participant is on a team that should make a deep run. Again, you know, I say should because God knows what happens in that thing. But it should make a deep run. Enjoy that. That is a fun ride, man. That is the best 3 weeks of your life if you can make it that far. It is wildly cool. And you can play in the NBA and you can make all your money and you can do all, you know, make all your endorsements. That is eventually going to come routine and become part of your life. But there's only one time in your life right now that you're going to experience a 3 week hectic basketball schedule that is just blazingly fun, that involves almost everybody in the country who's in an office pool. Trust me, Zion, you're going to love this, and just do it. And don't worry about what all these people are saying. They're trying to scare you. Don't listen to them. Play in the basketball.
Just play.
You'll love it.
You know, but
it's fun.
If you don't want to finish the regular season, that's fine. But you want to be there for conference tournament, and then you want to be there for the NCAA tournament. Because obviously,
exactly.
I think Duke's already in.
All right, coming up next, a nightmare for a broadcast crew out in L.A. that is actually my worst fear. That's coming up next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage, with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The Los Angeles Clippers broadcast crew made a joke about Robert Tractor Trailer, asking, what's he up to these days? Not realizing that he was dead. They made the joke that said, Robert Tractor Trailer, who's he playing for now? And the other guy, Ralph Lawler, said, Detroit YMCA over 40 league. Ha, ha, ha. Except he died in 2011 of a heart attack at the age of 34. I got to be honest with you. This is one of my fears as a broadcaster, is that I would do something like that, because I can't remember. I'm one of those guys that when I watch the memoriam at the Oscars, I go, oh, my God, I totally forgot he died.
Yep.
I am that person.
All the time.
And I do, and even in sports, even in an industry that I cover on a daily basis, and I'm involved with hours and hours and hours every single day, there are moments where I also go, oh, I didn't realize he died. Oh, I totally forgot that he passed away at a young age, or it was pretty tragic 4 or 5 years ago. Robert Tractor Trailer died in 2011. That's a long time to remember someone you're not dealing with on a daily basis passing away of a heart attack. So they made a joke about him, thinking, why wouldn't he be alive? He can't be that old. He's over 40. Why wouldn't he be that old? And then he's dead. This is my fear. I would go down this road. I am always like quickly Googling somebody that I want to talk about, just to make sure they're alive. Then I would make a joke about him. I'll make a funny joke about him. I would never want to get caught.
But it's also the opposite too, where you if you were talking about someone that being dead, but they actually are alive.
That's very true.
I mean, yeah, it's like, oh, man, I thought that guy was dead.
You know, that's very
like
true.
Ava Gota. Ava Gota like was Ava dead Gota. For like 20 Famous. Years before exactly. he actually did die.
Is there anybody else other than Ava Gota that we've done that to?
No.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so either. Yeah. Like Betty White. No, Betty White, we've always known she's alive.
Yeah, we know she's alive.
We never joke about Betty White being dead.
No, we just joke about Betty White
living forever.
Well, that, but we also joke about her literally being older than sliced bread.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. She is literally older than sliced bread. You're exactly right. She can't be the greatest thing since sliced bread. Sliced bread is the greatest thing since Betty White.
There it is.
That's the... Yeah, you know
that
who died?
Oh, God, that'd be terrible to be talking about Robert.
I know.
I mean, that's... Oh, you know, making jokes. I mean, I'm sure they had a whole bunch of them written down, too.
Oh, sure. I'm sure they were having a little fun.
Robert Tractor Trailer. He's in the YMCA over 40 league.
That's really fun. And then somebody is in the ear going,
he's really pulling his weight in that league.
You know who died on this day in 2009 as a Steeler fan? Myron Cope, the legendary broadcaster. He invented the terrible towel, to which I have like 10 of them in my house. Various Porter. Different designs. I am a terrible towel guy. I buy as many of them as I can. But he
used to talk like this. He would talk about the Steelers. He'd say Bradshaw throws the ball to Lynn Swann. Swann is, he can run like a deer. He can run so fast. It's unbelievable. And you go in that defense with Mean Joe Green and Jack Lambert, no one is going to score on the Steelers.
Myron Cope was the best. Died on this date in 2009.